This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
2590, extension 207, to request a copy by mail. KPFT Houston.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the November 25th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Gobble, gobble.
Yes, and I certainly did. All the meat I could get.
But enough about his time at Midtown.
I wish.
Hey, we're doing a show here. Hey. I'd beat you, but we'd enjoy it too much.
Oh, my.
What a wonderful first impression we made on his date.
Yes.
He's a tease. Run now. Run. Oh.
Okay. We heard music.
Oh, that's what we're calling it.
Yes, and okay. It was some of it was new music, actually. Brand new artist for After Hours. And his name is...
Something to his face on the CD.
Stop.
They Australianized him. It's all narrow. Squishy.
Oh. I don't know.
Remember the old Australian films? Mad Max? There are Mel Gibson... Mel Gibson has a fatter head now anyway, but before it was narrower. Your drink's in front of you.
His name is Robert Anton.
Were you afraid I wasn't going to find it?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Eventually I'd get there.
Okay, it was track number 5.
Let It Loose.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be hearing more from him next month because he sent me a Christmas CD. Brand new Christmas music. And you know how it is here at After Hours during the month of December. We only play Christmas music by GLBT, openly GLBT artists. And after that, we had...
My apologies. Oh, no. Patrick Booth.
Yes, with a song you wanted to hear.
Just based off of the title.
Yes.
Kill Him and Tell God He Died.
Okay.
But don't you think God would have known?
Don't you think that's really what a lot of people have going in their minds when they have a breakup?
Oh, that's what it's about. I wasn't listening. You think I listen to the show while I'm on it?
Hey.
Speaking of music, I try to keep some level of sanity going.
Speaking of music, I have a missive from J.D. Doyle. And I say it missive because it's 4 pages long. He's talking about his next show, which is always the fourth Monday during Queer Voices. JD does queer music heritage once a month on Queer Voices. It's the second hour of the program. And to say I got carried away this month would be an understatement. Let's just say the subject of my November Queer Music Heritage Show inspired extra effort, and the subject is gay Christian music. Okay, that's the short title. And the focus is on the music of the GLBT Christian artist, past and present. My very special interview is with Marcia Stevens. We've played her music before. I love it. Considered the mother of contemporary Christian music, and I've also got interviews with Sean Thomas and Jason and DeMarco.
Who is the only one anyone has ever heard of?
Come on, Marcia Stevens. I've heard of Marcia Stevens, and I'm not a Christian music aficionado. I really didn't plan this, but as I was researching for the show, I realized how rich the music was and how I wanted to include everyone I could. So I ended up with what became a marathon. 8 hours. 70 artists and 108 songs. Of course, only an hour can be heard this Monday evening on KPFT, but the full show is on my site for listening when the spirit moves you. You'll find that at dubcubed.queermusicheritage.us/nov2006.html.
Oh, okay.
Or you just go to queermusicheritage.org.
And look for the links.
Yeah. It works.
But why does it have the U.S. in the middle of it there?
I don't know. I thought that was odd. But, hey.
Well, we're talking.
Yes.
Let me see.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, he's got the whole playlist there. It takes 4 pages. Thank you.
Welcome.
Nurse Robert is rubbing my neck. And he's doing that because he can tell that there is stress there. Now, I want everyone out there to bring comfort and joy to Houston's children infected and affected by HIV/AIDS this season by donating a toy or 10 to the National Leather Association Red Ribbon Toy Drive. That's running from November 6th through December the 8th. Please donate new, unwrapped toys that are appropriate for children between birth and age 18. NLA designated toy boxes are located in the following locations: the 611, the In-N-Out Bar, Black Hawk Leather, Leather Forever, the Brazos River Bottom, Tony's Corner Pocket, George, Mary's, Chances, Michael's Outpost, Cousins, The Ripcord, Decades, Blur, EJ's, Hollywood, In and Out, out again. I guess they have 2 boxes there.
One's in and one's out.
Energy and toys. So, if you're
donating a gift of a fire truck or any sort of fireman, donate that at Chances.
Yes. So if you frequent any bars at all. Chances are there's going to be a box there from NLA, Red Ribbon Toy Drive. Be generous. In fact, I was at Mary's the other night.
Naturally.
And there was one of these guys who, you know, likes to do those, you know, the machines where you get a stuffed animal.
Yeah, a little scam thing.
That guy got 6 in a row and put them in the toy drive box.
He must have had the little button flipped.
He was good.
I watched one guy load those things up, and
they pack them.
Well, not only that, but I watched him as he opened the case, and he flipped a switch, and he did a practice run of picking up stuff.
Yeah.
And he opened it back up and flipped the switch back into another position and then left.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh. No, this guy was good, and I don't know his name. He was someone who was new to the bar. Nobody knew him. He played the machine for a while, had a beer and left, and I shook his hand before he left because I thought that was really a sweet thing to do.
They also take donations of cash for for those, usually for the older teens, so they can get a gift card, gift certificate, or the gift cards, so they can get what they want for more appropriate.
Or for infants, for things like diapers and
formula
and stuff like that. That's right. So if you're not, if you don't want to go to Toys BS, just put a check in for NLA.
Put a check. I mean, hey, you can find a lot of stuff that would make those kids' days just going down to a 99-cent store.
Yes.
You don't have to spend a fortune.
You don't have to spend a fortune.
Tell them Chris sent you. They should know me by now.
I'll bet they do. Oh, my. Just a little note here about the show on Sunday, November the 26th, 8 p.m. at George. I had such a great time last time there. You shouldn't miss out on this one. The regular cast members of cast of entertainers are Shyla Michaels, Ashley Houston, and Miss Gia. And I've seen Miss Gia in action. She is wonderful. Miss Zatrine and Jasmine Pierce will be the November guests. The shows are filled with illusions, production numbers, and all-around fun. So come out and say hello and enjoy the show and atmosphere of the Lipsinka Divas. That's happening tonight. Let's see. Oh, something that already happened and I want to talk about because it was really wonderful was the Remembering Our Dead, the annual Transgender Remembrance Day that happened this year for the second time at the Houston Holocaust Museum. In years past, we've all huddled and shivered in front of City Hall holding candles and reading off names, but this year we went to the and last year, the Houston Holocaust Museum, where a number of people spoke, including Anise Parker and local transgender activists who told their stories. Also, there were some police officers that were there that were talking about ways to protect yourself if you're out and about and dressed. There was a wonderful pamphlet that was given out talking about each of the people that 16 names were read this year of 16 transgendered people who were murdered during the year. And you don't have to be transgendered to get a lot of good feelings and out of this ceremony of honoring folks who have gone before us and maybe want to work to stop it, stop the violence. So I wanted to thank the Transgender Unity Committee for putting that on. That was really, really wonderful. And don't forget the banquet coming up, usually in April. Now, things coming up. The Bayou City Performing Arts, the Gay Men's Chorus Houston, and the Bayou City Women's Chorus. Having some shows. December the 2nd, the 5th, and the 7th. It's called Coming Home, the Bayou City Women's Chorus Holiday Concert 2006. And that December 2nd show is sold out, so you only have the 5th and the 7th. And the curtain is at 7:30 at Baring Memorial United Methodist Church, located at 1440 Harold. How to get tickets? Call 713-521-7464. Tickets are $20, or you can get them probably at the door. Some of the wonderful music you will hear includes variation on Jingle Bells, the theme from Polar Express, Believe, Ave Maria, Sleigh Ride, White Christmas, Silver Bells, and yes, the Reindeer Hula. Yes, indeedy.
What? No Carol of the Bells?
Sorry. The Carol of the Bells is probably done by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston at their concert, which will be on December 19th at Jones Hall. That's at 7:30 p.m. So, two chances to hear wonderful, wonderful music. Three chances for the Bayou City Women's Chorus over at Bering. And you only get one chance for the Gay Men's Chorus. That will be December the 19th. We'll be talking more about that.
I just thought of something. If somebody needs an extra incentive to go to the Bayou City Women's Chorus.
Yeah.
Daddy Rose will probably be wearing women's clothing.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God. It's not often you see Daddy Rose in a dress.
Well, Daddy Rose is right here on the pamphlet, the color pamphlet. See down here?
Yeah, in the fold.
And she looks kind of femmed out.
Yeah, but she'll be wearing an actual dress.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I don't know. She tried to kill me last weekend.
Oh.
So we're
something else going on this Sunday. Sunday. And this is from the, I take it, it's the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial's Court of the Single Star. As we start this year's holiday season, things always seem to start to get a little crazy. After you have put up with your families all week long, if you want a break and want to laugh and hang out where crazy folks do, just have no shame, who on occasion have been known to get fallen down drunk, come on over to the Brazos River Bottom Sunday afternoon for the Miss Merry Christmas pageant at 7 p.m. Well, that's maybe afternoon for me, but it's evening for most other people.
Maybe I'll rent a formal for that.
The Daughters of the Montrose Ladies League and Steel Magnolia Society will be hosting the return of Miss Merry Christmas Pageant. The contest or pageant is taken from the movie Steel Magnolias. The winner, I guess everybody wears pink, I don't know. The winner will be asked to help all of the service groups or clubs in Houston for and during this year's holiday season. Christmas seems to always find all of us running short of performers and workers for a holiday event. Well, now we will have on Sunday night a newly crowned Miss Merry Christmas who will be required to work 1 month a year and return next year. If you are interested or know someone who may be, stop by early and enroll in that. But that's at 7 o'clock at the BRB. And let's see here. ICOH, what's going on with these folks?
I guess he was afraid of my editorial comments because he didn't hand me any papers.
I certainly did not hand you any papers. As a matter of fact, we talked about the lip sync leave the shows. And, okay, if you want to do one, here's Stacey.
I wasn't a request.
Okay.
Give it here.
Stacey Needleay. I know you've done that one before and you love it. And some world.
I haven't done this before because I would have commented on how horrible the print looks.
Some World AIDS Day stuff. On this page and part of the second page.
A little here, a little there.
Okay, why don't you do that? Because
stuff.
I want to talk about the cult show after that.
Stacey Needleay invites you to come join the madness on December 8th at the Brazos River Bottom as we celebrate the 28th anniversary of her 29th birthday.
Oh, my.
With a madcap, crazy, silly show of Christmas and holiday songs benefiting Resurrection MCC Food Pantry. Donations of non-perishable food items and canned meats, pasta side dishes, soups, cereals, and canned fruits and such would be the best birthday gift I could receive. Looks like she's going for the Sally Struthers pool. to assist in need of food, it would help with the Christmas and holiday season all around. So that will be on Friday, December 8th. Yeah, I threw it away. December 8th, 2006. See her attachment. I don't want to see her attachments.
I didn't bring any Sonia with me. Someone called up and requested Sonia, and I didn't bring her with me. And Jen...
from the AM show.
The 60 show, yes. Okay. Jen, I'll bring it next month. No, like January. Because I only play Christmas music in December.
First Unitarian Universalist Church commemorates World AIDS Day with 25 hours of honor, an AIDS vigil to mourn those lost to HIV/AIDS and support those living with the disease. The number 25 is symbolic of the first AIDS diagnosis 25 years ago. Every hour on the hour, there will be a spoken words, music, and other forms of focused tribute. Once the vigil concludes, observers will walk together to the Covenant Church for an interfaith worship service. It starts at 6 p.m. and it's free at 5200 Fannin. For more information, go to firstuu.org. AIDS Foundation Houston Incorporated's Mercura Arts for AIDS series presents the Art for Life exhibition and silent auction. The event held on World AIDS Day features original artwork from a slew of national and regional artists. Artists showcasing on the event include Bobby Bennett, Blakely Baring, Peter Brown, Todd McIntyre, John Palmer, Hiroshi Watanabe, and Rodney Waters. This starts at 6 p.m. December 1st at Greenmillen and Company Fine Art, 2501 Sunset. $35 hors d'oeuvre and cocktails will be provided. For more information, call 713-623-6796. Community Service is a co-sponsor of the World AIDS Day Interfaith Service at Covenant Church, 4949 Caroline, on December 1st at 6 p.m. Additionally, the Community Center will also put up a Community Tree of Remembrance at the Center at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207, on December 1st. We encourage individuals to bring ornaments in memory of friends and loved ones lost to AIDS throughout the entire month of December. The GLBT Community Center is at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. For more information on things at the Community Center, go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org.
Okay, and one more thing before we go to some music and we bring out our first guest. And we're going to have a phone interview along with that. Very Cult Christmas, the annual Christmas show and community awards at the Home Bar, the BRB, 2400 Brazos, December the 17th at 7 p.m. Fun food prizes and a wreath contest. And I hear that After Hours is going to be making one of those wreaths
that will be put up for sale.
Good. All proceeds.
I'm trying to find the appropriate centerpiece in there. I have been scouring adult bookstores trying to find it.
I'll bet you have. The proceeds will benefit the Cult 45's AIDS Trouble Fund. To find out more about the cults, go to dubcubedcult45s.org. And
they'll be hawking that stuff
this
here
year.
Next
yeah,
week.
They're going to be presenting several awards, including the Danny Villa Award. Who's given to an individual who's in the forefront of people helping people with AIDS. This year's nominees are Blanche DeBrie, Sona Alton, Jason Cryer, Rusty Rose, Lisa Ferranda, and me, Jimmy Carper.
Gee, the one name you actually pronounced correctly was his own. Go figure. You butchered the first two.
I said Lisa Ferranda.
Yeah, but you butchered the first two.
Yeah, well. And then the Golden Cult Awards is given to a member of the community for their work directly related to the Cult 45s. This year's nominees are Southern Country Houston, Don Gill, Misfits Houston, PWA Charities, and After Hours at KPFT. The BJ Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year is named in honor of a performer who did much for the Cult 45s as well as many other organizations in Houston and Texas. This year's nominees are Rusty Rose, Dee Dee DeMarco, Cheyenne, Christopher Prado, and Jim Carper. Jim Crawford! Crawford! Let's go to some music, now that I butchered that whole thing.
Talk about being a greedy bastard. I know we don't get nominated much for about anything.
We certainly don't. So, we've got some music. This is music that I discovered here at KPFT when I first started with the show by a... who's it by?
Michael Callen?
Michael Callen, yes, God.
who's now deceased, but he did some really fantastic music when he was alive with solo work and with the Flirtations. And this is his AIDS fight song. It stands up today as it did 19 years ago.
I was hitting a note. It's Michael Callen with Living in Wartime. Hold on, you're not on yet.
Now you are.
Just in time to hear you smack the phone or smack the microphone around. Hello, you're on in there.
Yes.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay.
I ain't talking to the callers, I'm talking to the host.
Gotcha. Boy, it's really loud. Oh,
you just
is it too loud for you?
think.
He just has his hearing aid up too much now.
Try that one over there. See if that's any better.
Oh, yeah.
Much better? Okay. Yes. Yes, that was Michael Callan with Living in Wartime from the CD.
Can you hear us? You're the lucky one.
Let's see.
How could she, if she couldn't hear me, how could she laugh at what I said?
Well, she can't hear us because she's not plugged in.
Well. Well, in the words of the former host on one of these segments, stick it in!
Okay. Yeah, is that better? Okay. Okay.
Now I'm going to try and push the buttons here to get our callers on.
Yes, I think it's probably time to bring our callers on.
I love it. Let's see if I can do this right. I had so much luck helping on the first show there.
Hello?
Caller? Hello. Hello. Welcome to After Hours.
Is this Jimmy?
Yes, this is Jimmy.
Okay, this is John.
John, and I know that Steve's on the other line.
Oh, yeah, good.
Hi. And Fortunata is here.
Yeah, I heard her voice just a minute ago. So we're all three here now, huh?
Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Fortunata. How you doing?
I am doing perfectly fine.
No Fortunata.
I purposely did not talk with her this evening before the show, so I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't. Sometimes when I talk to guests before the show, I don't give the background because I already know it. So
okay.
I like to come in just kind of clean. John, first of all, I want you to talk about the organization that you represent.
Well, okay, I guess I'll start.
Mm-hmm.
The Save ADAP program is an organization that has been going for a number of years, and we all three together, well, Fortunata from Houston and
mm-hmm.
Steve and I from Fort Worth were granted scholarships to go to D.C. and lobby our individual congressmen and senators for the appropriations of funds for the Ryan White
mm-hmm.
and the monies needed for the ADAP program, which, of course, is the AIDS Drug Assistance Program.
Right. And I know that, well, it's been in the news that it hasn't exactly been cut. It hasn't been exactly funded to cover everyone who needs it.
Yeah. The number that was going to be left out nationwide was 16,700,
mm-hmm.
and the money needed to cover those 16,000 was $197 million.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've received from the emails, which Save ADAP is part of the Yahoo groups. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
yes,
anyway,
you are.
They have emails that go back and forth, and we do know from the news conference that they had Tuesday morning, September 19th, that we are in a good standing, and they are about 99% sure that we will have that $197 million.
Good.
So the 16,000 will not drop off of the ADAP program.
Okay, Steve, welcome to the show. I haven't met you before. I met John this past fall.
Yes.
And can you tell me your part in this?
Well, like John was saying, he went to Washington, D.C. to lobby Congress and the Senate for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ADAP is a good organization needed state to keep the monies going to the needed people.
John, your reception is really, really bad. You're kind of breaking up.
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
Steve's. I'm sorry. Steve's. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I could hardly hear you. Go ahead and plug. He's on a cell phone, so am I. I went ahead and called on my cell.
Oh, okay.
I've got mine plugged in. But, yeah, he is inside a trailer out in Granbury, Texas right now.
Oh, that may be part of it.
Yeah. Maybe if he could step outside for a minute. I'm near downtown Fort Worth, just south of the Broadway Baptist Church. And hello, Fortunata. I understand you're right there in Houston at the studio.
Yes, it's beautiful here, you know, and it's a great day. And
It's actually kind of hot.
For us, it's, you know, it's okay. It's warm in Houston,
yes,
actually.
It is.
Yes.
How's the reception now, Steve?
Well, how much?
No.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, now...
Well, we may have lost him.
You still there, Steve?
I can hear you, John.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, now you're sounding a lot better. Okay, great.
All right. Oh,
well, if you like kind of a rundown of who we did manage to get to see, some of the best conversations we had were with the representatives. William J. McKay was with Senator K. Bailey Hutchison's offices. He was the legislative correspondent.
Wow.
And we met with him for almost a half hour, and he sat down, and we were in a conference room and took notes, and he seemed generally interested in what we had to say. Took a lot of notes, and our second interview...
I'm really surprised at that, coming from K. Bailey Hutchison's office. I would have expected a cooler reception.
Well, it seemed rather cool at Kay Granger's, who surprisingly is supposed to be backing us along with Joe Barton.
Wow.
But, with Amy Tenhouse that same Monday, we only had a hallway interview that lasted about 5 minutes, and I think she jotted down maybe two words on her notepad.
Mm.
And that kind of surprised me, but the most productive seemed to be with Ann Idsel in John Cornyn's office on September 19th, the Tuesday morning, which John Cornyn's office always has... Tuesday morning coffee with all Texas constituents that happened to be in D.C. at the time.
Oh.
And we went to his coffee and actually got to meet Senator Cornyn himself, which was the only person that we did get a chance to meet. One of the things that we did learn is that if you want to actually meet your congressman or senator, you're more likely to run into them in your own state, in your own town, than you are to go to Washington, D.C., because they're
really
right there.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're now trying to go from a 4-day work week to a 3-day work week, you know, which, you know, that's kind of, if the rest of us got paid that much money, I think we'd work a little bit longer than that.
There's a reason we have a joke here that says, don't blame the legislature for any, you know, for what's going on. They haven't done anything.
I forgot to tell you, John, we have a whole crew here at After Hours. That was Merlin chiming in.
Merlin?
Okay. Merlin, who was gracious enough to entertain Fortunata while we were setting up for the beginning of the show.
Okay, yeah, and I believe when I first called in about the 12:45 an hour ago was somebody named David?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Fortunately, I can tell you we have a whole bunch of folks out there.
It looks like in the daytime here in the studio. You can tell it's night.
Yeah. Yes, we have a house full tonight.
We always have a house full, yes. So, Fortunata, tell me about your experience, because you may be coming to it from a different angle. You were telling me about Project Leap, that you had been through that.
Yes, I started getting active in this world of AIDS, HIV.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to start to get involved in any way I can to make a difference. And I found myself on the Center for AIDS area.
Wonderful organization.
And, yes, and I went there and I said, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some direction. And that's when they told me that there's this Project Leap program that you get educated and knowing the ins and outs of the resources and how the system work in this HIV AIDS.
As I understand it, the Project Leap thing is a weekly class.
Yes.
It's very extensive, and you have to be there.
You have to be there. You have to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in July, and we graduated in November.
Mm-hmm.
We go there once a week, and you get all these activists and all the people who are working in the any organizations. You pretty much become an activist or advocate in
yes.
this fight once you finish,
mm-hmm.
because you pretty much know how to do everything. And that's when I was introduced to this ADAP program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got the scholarship to go to Washington, and that's where we met John and Steve.
Ah.
And we were sort of a Texas crew, you know. We represented Texas in this, and I found myself in the Capitol Hill. So it was my first experience as a kind of a new person and
yes.
to get involved in this, and it was very, very, very motivating for me because I'm planning to do a lot of work and in education,
mm-hmm.
and giving hope to the people and being an activist, sort of. So we, like as John said, we were able to meet with our senators, and it's very enlightening because you get to see that you can make a difference in a small way. You can go there and share what you know and say what your concerns are about a particular issue, and
mm-hmm.
they listen, and hopefully something can be done. So
hopefully, yeah, hopefully yeah. they not only listen, but they take heed.
Yeah, exactly,
Yeah, I really think they did, because all the emails that I've gotten back are saying that things really look good. A lot of effort came out of the conference that they had Tuesday morning, which we missed because we were at Senator Cornyn's coffee,
mm-hmm.
Which when we were at meeting with Ann Edsel, they were having the conference, and Ann took like 2.5 pages of notes. I mean, the most notes that any of them took, and
wow.
seemed generally interested. And Senator Cornyn, when he meets with us, every constituent from Texas that goes there, they have a photo op session. And Fortunata was telling me she just got hers yesterday. Steve, did you get your photo yet with Senator Cornyn?
I'm not sure. I haven't been to the nursing for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, like I say, he's out in Granbury right now.
Mm-hmm.
House sitting and dog sitting, and Steve is our prouder vice chair of the Positive Voices Coalition here in Fort Worth, and that's an organization that's a consumer advocate organization that works with the health department. We're sort of a subcommittee of the North Central Texas Planning Council that helps decide where all the HIV funding is distributed to the agencies and everything. And Ray Moore, our leader, proud chair, is hoping to get other consumer advocate groups in other cities, such as we at the camp out that we met you at, he mm-hmm. met with people from Oklahoma City, Bryan College Station, and he has a friend that's in San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
and it's a pretty good idea to get spread out, because the best feedback comes from those that are the consumers, those of us that deal with the medication.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis.
Absolutely.
And can I say something? I think that having all people from all different backgrounds and go there together as one and share our stories and say how important these medicine programs are.
Absolutely.
Make a very big difference.
I think maybe a lot of politicians are so used to gay men coming and talking about AIDS.
Exactly.
That to have different voices from the straight community coming in and minority voices coming in. And I think that would pack a bigger wallop than us gay guys.
Yes.
Yeah. And for example, you know, Fortunata is a heterosexual mother, unmarried, African American. In fact, you just 9 years ago immigrated from Tanzania. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And Steve, he's a heterosexual man, right, Steve?
I am.
John, you weren't sure?
I know he is, but he's our honorary gay man in our...
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of those around here at KPFT.
Yeah, and I know that it's time for the world to know that this disease affects everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's not a gay men's disease.
Everybody, and in my case, I had to tell that, you know, just stop thinking that it's a particular group of people's disease, and that, you know, I'm a mother. You know, fortunately, my child got spared
this disease. Good.
You know, she is fine, but again, you know, programs like that, programs that provide assistance for people who probably in one way or another cannot qualify in the basic, you know, known programs, it's a matter of life and death.
Yes, it
is. I would
is.
Like to see my child grow up. I would like to be there. Don't tell me to wait. Wait a minute, you know, the funds are not there right now, but they will be next year or 6 months after now. So I had to be there and tell how important.
Absolutely, because when you have a life-threatening disease, you can't wait.
Exactly.
There is no waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we made a great threesome meeting with each of the representatives that we did meet with, because we were almost like the mod squad. We had one black, one straight, and one fruit.
Yeah.
A real cocktail, you know.
Yes, John.
Funny you should put it that way.
I've seen you in action, John, yes.
Oh.
Seen you on stage.
That's right. We had that show out there.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes, I have. And I know that you're out there not only awareness for AIDS but raising money for AIDS and all the other aspects, but it's rare because we don't run across a whole lot of folks that go to Washington and actually meet with our politicians and say, hey, give us more money because we need it.
Yeah.
And we deserve it.
We met with the staff, and I've been told meeting with staff is better than meeting with the politicians because the staff take down everything you say to report to their bosses. So I think we did a very good job.
We got most of that, John, Steve, and you're
absolutely that's wrong.
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of these politicians rely on their staff to give them the good word, and when you've got staff people, like you say, like the one lady who took down two pages of notes, you know that politician's gonna get an earful
later. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. One of her other people that works in her office is a Catherine Knowles. Let me grab her card real quick here.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Knowles, the legislative assistant at Kay Granger's office, No, wait a minute. I think I've got them mixed up. But no, the one that was in Kay Bailey Hutchison's office, another Catherine. I'm getting the cards mixed up. Just a second.
Okay. Oh, unfortunately, I was pulling out the
Well, I can't find her card. But anyway, one of them is from Fort Worth. And, yeah, we managed to take some... the Positive Voices Coalition has fountain pens, and we took some health department bars of soap and little magnifying pages that you lay over your page when you're our age and you have a hard time seeing things on the page. And we tried to let Catherine know that it had nothing. The bar of soap didn't have any connotations whatsoever. It was just a bar of soap from the health department, and it's one of those logos that stays in the bar of soap no matter how small it gets.
Oh, nice. Yes, I've noticed that. Fortunata pulled out some business cards, and I must say they're very, very nice.
Yes, and you know it's the same people that we met. You know those correspondents. I have William J. McKee. You know, from Bailey Hutchison and it's all from John Conan's office. They were all very, you know, they were saying that they kind of are aware of the situation and they're going to make sure they present those issues to the senators and everything. And the other lady was Amy Tenhouse.
Amy Tenhouse. That was Kay Granger's.
Right. So we've kept their contacts, and you know what? We're going to contact them.
Of course they've got nice business cards. They're paid for with our money. But Fortunata and I were talking about this in the lobby earlier, and and you brought up the whole thing of people seeing the wide range of what is the face of AIDS now.
That's right.
I mean, and discussing the fact that, you know, even before, long before I was positive, the very first person I knew to die of AIDS was a patient of my mother's, and my mother was a pediatrician.
Oh.
And it was a one-year-old baby.
Yeah.
So I knew long before I was positive that gay was not the only face of AIDS.
Exactly.
And I think this is the thing that people really need to, I mean, understand now is that this is everybody. This is every face, every age group, every nationality, skin color, ethnic background, whatever
every
phrase. Walk of life, rich, poor, and everything.
Because 18 years ago, when I was talking about being HIV positive on the air here and kept saying that it's not a gay disease, all people heard was a gay man saying it's not a gay disease. You know, they weren't listening to me.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that I said, you know, instead of me sitting down and feel sorry about myself and just be sad about it and just wait, I have to go out there and maybe one or two people will hear my story and they will relate, because I was just a normal, you know, girl who not necessarily at any risky groups as they say to them, and I ended up with this, you know, in my late teen years, and I wasn't even active on my, you know, early teen years. So anybody can get this, and that's the message that needs to go out there.
Absolutely.
So people need to relate to this.
That's why it's so important that people like you go through the Project Leap schooling, and I know it's intensive. I've talked with some of the guys who put it on, and they're very serious about Project Leap.
Yes.
And what they want to do is turn out people who can be on the Ryan White committees and who can go to Washington and talk to political people and to go on TV and radio and to talk about it and
and make them understand that the risk group these days is is anybody who falls anybody. Under the category human.
And
And
it's wonderful to have you on radio, but you would do wonderful on TV, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, we did do some video interviews with the Fred, who is from Oregon, who is their videographer. And it was interesting when we went into the Hart Senate building, the security guards had to check all of his video equipment. Of course, once we got into the offices, they would have had to have signed waivers well in advance. But the security guards, you know how security would be after 9/11 there.
Oh, yeah.
He said, have you got anything to declare? He said, well, yeah, I do have syringes in there. And they said, well, what do you have syringes for? And he said, well, I have a medical condition. And one of the things that the security guards are not supposed to ask is what for. And
what,
that's
yeah.
what he said is what do you need syringes for? What is your disease?
Oh.
And Fred leaned real close and looked at him and, you know, almost with a pucker in his lips and said, I've got AIDS.
Real close.
How scary.
Yeah. One of the other ladies, when she was going into the airport, you know.
John, can you hold on just a moment? Because I have to jump in here and remind people that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston, 89.5 FM. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and I was just noticing when I went online and found the station and everything, which, you know, I've got it on the computer in the other room, glancing, mm-hmm. it's really delayed, or we'd be getting a good feedback. But
oh, yeah.
You're also part of Pacifica Radio, too, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, we are. We're a Pacifica station.
Yeah, I want you to know it is a great honor to be part of a radio interview, telephone interview, on a station that also has Democracy Now!
Yes.
With Amy Goodman.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to, for a time, stop watching her. The Dish network that I have also has Free Speech TV, and I couldn't continue to watch it because having the president's email address, I was worried that the Secret Service would be knocking on my door. You can't call the president that.
Yeah. Oh, then they better not listen to any of my conversations, because I have a list of things I'd like to call him.
Well, yeah, but I started giving him a nickname and even emailing him and saying, Dear Darth Gilligan.
Well, that's
yeah,
a new one.
And but there is one of the clients. See, I also volunteer at the AIDS Outreach Center Food Pantry,
mm-hmm.
and one of the clients there actually sends hard copy letters to the White House. He mailed a cigarette to Laura Bush and said, "Here, have one on me." And he's actually had the Secret Service knock on his door.
I'll bet he has. But, you know, it's like, well, I don't care.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the local police finally said, you know, every time the Secret Service comes to town to go knock on his door, they just laugh at him and say, what are you going to go bother that queer again for?
Exactly. You're not going to stop him.
You know, people do that, though? Really? Oh,
yeah,
wow. Interesting.
Like trying to put a cork in Ray.
Yeah, and when he mentioned it at the pantry, my boss said, "What's the matter, John? You jealous they haven't come knock on your door?" We're in a way.
It's like, why do they get all the good gigs?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But this is important work you folks are doing, getting the attention of the politicos who have. Are the ones who are going to vote for money for this disease. Because that's one of the, you know, in the old days when I was with ACT UP, and, you know, we were just doing anything we could just to get people aware of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
now, and there was not one, wasn't anything we could do about it then.
There wasn't any
medication.
I'm glad you mentioned ACT UP, because that reminded me one of the things I was going to say about the press conference that they were holding. They had three legislative assistants and senior legislative assistants from different representatives. And Steve, what was the was it the state that you're originally from, Michigan, or that one of them?
Michigan.
One of the senior legislative assistants had been a member of ACT UP.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he promised that if they did not do it, that they would have a congressional hearing.
Wow.
If the money was not appropriated, which even if it didn't have the hearing, the very fact that they were calling for it and that it would get on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at the conference that we met Monday night, September 18th, the night before, was a very interesting young man who was 15 years old. He was a very intelligent, attractive young man. We met him and his mom, and he, you may have heard the stories, at 11 months old, his father, who worked at a lab, knew that there was an impending divorce and he was going to have to pay child support. So to avoid paying child support, he obtained some AIDS-tainted blood and injected his son.
Yes, I remember that case.
Yeah,
that's the most horrible thing I can.
We met that young man. We met that young man, and mm-hmm. he spoke at that press conference.
Yeah.
And
I hope that father's in jail.
Oh yeah, he is.
I hope he's under the jail.
Yeah, you can go online and Google the story, and you'll find. I don't think it's a complete life sentence, but. Mm.
My neck of the woods, he wouldn't have lived very much longer.
Well,
after
that's
that.
Yeah,
I knew
yeah.
Steve, do you remember which congressman or senator that gentleman that was in ACT UP was?
I don't remember what his name is. He's from Michigan. I just remember right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, from my perspective, I want to sit here and say that AIDS is a manageable disease, but the reality is it is a disease that has no cure.
And people are still dying.
Yes, and people are still dying from it.
Yeah, and it's sort of dropped out of the limelight just because it's now trying to be reclassified as a chronic illness. and just because I may have just passed my 17th year since my diagnosis, mm-hmm. and other people that are in our core group are in 22 years.
January will be 20 years for me from the diagnosis, and I had it at least 3 years before that.
Yeah, mine was on November 2nd. I remember the day because I had gone back to donate plasma at the local Plasma Alliance.
Ooh.
And they said, well, we need to talk to you before you do, and sat down with a doctor, a nurse, and a social worker, and they said, well, that a lot of my friends say, well, that's interesting, because most people don't even bother with that much hoopla to sit you down and make sure that you're okay with what you're being told.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some people I've heard just were told over the telephone, you know.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's devastating once you.
Oh yes.
And the way mine went, it was just a regular routine pregnancy visit, you know, like the prenatal care.
Yeah, prenatal.
Yeah, I was just I just arrived here in U.S. and I was really young. I was 22 years old and I got pregnant accidentally, you know, of course, with my boyfriend. And I was like, okay. So I didn't get any prenatal care at home. So immediately after I landed here, I said, okay, I better go and check how this baby is doing and everything. So that's when we had to go through the whole process with a regular routine testing. And luckily, they detected it right away.
Wow.
And we were able to save the baby and I. So knowing your status, and that's another thing why I'm here. That's another thing why I want to go out there and encourage people to know their status. I was not expecting that. I was as healthy as I could be. Didn't have any prediction on that I could have this. So I was lucky to know then. Because then I saved the baby, and then I know now. And so when you know, you live differently.
Yes, you do.
You know, you just take it as a,
you know,
you already know. And I think we could control this disease. We can do it if everybody know their status, and you know, then there's hope. There's still hope because there's medicine here, at least in this country, because if I was at home, I wouldn't have been here today. There's hope here. And
that's quite possible.
Yeah. So
however,
when you're 9 years
and you look perfectly healthy.
Oh, thank you. These are my healthiest years, you know, so I'm not in the medicine yet, and I'm expecting to be in some maybe sometime soon, just for precautionary.
Take it from a bunch of gay men. You're a stunningly beautiful woman.
Well, thank you.
Yes, she is. I can guarantee you that.
So, yeah, that's my goal, just to go out there and probably give back to Americans who saved my life here. I feel I'm very lucky to be here. I came to go to school, and it turned out to be a life-saving trip for me.
And your baby.
Yeah, and my baby. Mm-hmm. So I have to give back to the community.
Good.
And share my story, and maybe somebody will hear it.
And like I said, coming from you, it's going to matter more than coming from another gay man.
Yeah.
Because they've been hearing it from gay men now for 25 years, and it's...
And I have to say, you know, I'm very inspired by the community, the gay community, because, and it's very strange for an African who come from a very traditional way of life that says women, they're supposed to be like this and look like this, and men, they're supposed to act like this and be like this only, and there's no exception. But I came to realize that in this fight, which is a universal fight, on AIDS, I learned something in your community. The unity, the claim of that disease, no matter, regardless of the stigma that is put on you guys, you united and you made a very strong unity and just say, okay, fine, and we're gonna control this, and we're gonna deal with it, and the way they work, I met very interesting people in your community, and they just make me strong every day because I look on how hard they work to make sure they control it, and being with the challenge of being stigmatized in your own society.
Yes,
I think that gives me energy to keep going and keep fight.
I think I've said it before on the show that on some level, as far as the gay community is concerned, while AIDS has been the horror that it has been, it's also what bound us together as a community and said, okay, we're not just a bunch of separate people being abused by the rest of the world.
Yeah.
We are one, and as one voice we can fight the system, both as far as our personal rights and as our rights as human beings in the fight against AIDS, because we weren't willing to just sit down and die, you know.
Yes.
And now that transmits to the larger community and saying we are, you know, we are gay, straight, we are all male, female, we are all of it, and none of us are willing to just sit down and die when we can have something to say while we're still here. you know.
What really helped our community, I think, in the very beginning, when the government wasn't listening to us, when the medical association really wasn't listening to us, and we were dying, gay men were dying, lesbians came in and nursed us and helped us. And I don't think gay men had an appreciation for lesbians until then, even though we're brothers and sisters, if only because of we are same-sex lovers. Do you find that, John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's more work being done by both sides of the same-sex group that it's really amazing. The community here, we have a lot of the volunteers were at the food pantry where I work, the AIDS Outreach Center, was lesbian women, and it was really a shock, you know, when I first moved to the Metroplex in 87, I really didn't know, even the gay men's life, you know, I grew up in a small town in New Mexico, you know, I'm sure everybody knows of the Carlsbad Caverns.
Oh, yes.
I thought all gay men's life was just trolling the parks, you know. And when I moved here, I was shocked to find out that they actually dated, you know. And
these days we leave the trolling the parks to George Michael.
Yeah.
And to see how much everybody worked together here, and even though I don't do the bar life anymore, it showed an amount of diversity. Like, for example, Steve, you've never even used drugs, correct?
I haven't.
Yeah, and
smell.
Yeah, I did. You know, I used to be growing up in the 70s in a small town. That's all anybody did.
I never did.
I never did.
I have enough problems. I don't need drugs.
Well, yeah, I finally sobered up, but, you know, it took...
But a lot of gay men did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took the death of my mother, the death of friends who didn't stop, and with some of them, watching, being right here in Fort Worth, of course, the Columbia space shuttle broke up right over our heads here, you know, and we heard the first explosion right here, and one thing that not many people know is that the protease inhibitor was developed by NASA and the space program.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, the protein crystal growth experiments, which are developing medicines for diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, in space, in microgravity, the protein crystals can grow larger without, you know, gravity and convection and sediment into a pure form that scientists were able to identify how the protein and the enzyme that is in the virus attacks the cell. And they were able, after many, many experiments, which started in the 80s and culminated with STS-73 that launched on October 5th, 1995. You can see I've done my research on that.
Yes, you have.
Because I went online and found out the very one, the very last one that culminated in that time frame. And within 4 months of that last experiment, the protease inhibitor was developed in December and was on the market January of 96. And we have NASA, and you people there in Houston, you know, or where Johnson Space Center is, have the greatest connection, you know. I right now, I would love to be able to go back to college. I tried to start teaching myself Russian because we're working so much with the Russians now in space.
Yes.
But I said anything that I could do, if I could just sweep the floors in Kennedy Johnson Space Center, I would love to be just that, to be able to be there at NASA. The millions of lives that are being saved by NASA is incredible, and nobody ever seems to think about that. I mean, we have cell phones because of the space program.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the number of people, even the girl that was being held hostage and buried, you know, by some pervert, you know, she was able to text her mom.
Right.
Everything, GPS, location, the traffic lights in America right now are being run on the same type of program that got us to the moon. The telemetry that radios your heart and body functions to the hospital while you're in the ambulance were the same ones that sent the information back from the moon of the vital signs of the astronauts while they were walking on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And people just don't seem to realize that the work that they're doing. When you imagine that the Pentagon has a budget of $440 billion a year, and they maintain Freedom for America, you know, and NASA has a budget of $16 billion,
mm-hmm.
and they have gotten us to the moon, they have landed rovers on Mars, they have put spacecraft in orbit around Jupiter and Saturn and landed a probe on a moon around Saturn. You know, think of where we'd be if NASA had $440 billion a year. We'd probably already be hopping galaxies in the Starship Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. And to think of how far we'd be in all other fields, too, related to NASA, medicine and electronics and this and that and the other. I know.
And I know there's a reason cell phones look like Star Trek communicators.
Yeah.
Of breakthroughs in technology and
stuff.
I just read AOL actually had a pretty good thing. Originally they thought DNA separation between humans from one human to the other was like 99.9% the same,
mm-hmm.
for everybody. Just what little bit made hair color and gender and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They just came through with a breakthrough that said there's more like 10% difference between, and it's a very wide. They haven't, you know, researched too much about it, but it was funded by the AIDS. Somebody through the AIDS Coalition funded it somewhere.
Really?
It was in Germany or somewhere across the seas. But they were analyzing how certain people are more acceptable to catching HIV or cancer or different stuff like that.
Yes.
It's such a new thing. It just came out last week. But they're really looking into. It's pretty interesting.
So. It seems that direct descendants from the survivors of the bubonic plague, are less susceptible to catching HIV for some reason, and so they're doing some studies with these people.
Bad news for them, good news for those who are the descendants.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all these different reaction on how the medicine works for certain people and it doesn't work for the same way.
It doesn't work for some.
So there's a lot that needs to be done as far as research and science, and hopefully we're going to be hanging in there until when they find the cure one day.
No, absolutely, and I'm going to be there for it.
You know, it's like I've been lucky enough that the bunch of medicines that I was on the first go-around lasted for like 11 years.
Yeah.
For like 11 years, and I'm only recently on a whole new bunch of meds.
Me too.
And then there's other friends of mine who have been through every med out there and nothing works. So it's like, you know, it's a very strange thing to see that sort of balance of some things just don't work on some people.
That's
and
right.
I can mention that it's great how far America has come from the first medicines to now this current medication that they have, mm-hmm. and the studies that are they are done so far that, okay, at first they were working on men population, mm-hmm. as far as all the research was done.
That's
because
right.
of course the first AIDS cases in the gay community, so all the studies were done with men perspective, mm-hmm. and now they find out that not everything works the same for women.
That's right.
We deal with mm-hmm. different issues on that. So now they're reversing the whole thing and make all these changes on how to attack this killer disease.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the of course, the bottom line is that it's a very expensive disease.
Yes.
Very, very expensive once you have to start taking medication.
And they were saying in Washington, I don't know if you remember, John, the exact figures. They say it's more than $1,000 a month.
Oh, yes.
For just a regular person who's taking the regular medicine. And how many people they make... That's just for the medicine. You didn't pay rent yet. You mm-hmm. didn't pay other bills. It's almost impossible for a normal person who makes an average income to be able to afford.
If I wasn't on Medicaid and Medicare, there's no way in hell I could possibly pay for my meds and put a roof over my keep a roof
right.
over my head.
And
I'd be living under a bridge.
The same with me. My my medications would run over $5,000 a month, and not only most of us don't have just HIV to deal with. I have hepatitis C, which they're always talking about co-infection now, mm-hmm. HIV, HCV, while I was on the interferon, which, you know, thank God that's all in remission now, but my medications, you know, would have made poor men even out of congressmen.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like Steve, you're dealing with more than just HIV yourself also.
Yes, I'm also a diabetic. And when I was diagnosed, they actually thought it was my diabetes was acting up. And they were fixing to let me out of the hospital. And my wife and said that there was something wrong with him other than the diabetes. I don't know what it is, but I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And she made them, and she actually had to get a hold of some of the adult service people to come in and force the hospital to do more tests.
Wow.
On
mm-hmm.
And they came up with an AIDS diagnosis.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And we heard a lot of personal stories about how a person would almost have to file bankruptcy before they qualify for these other programs.
Yes.
So this program that we were fighting for, the ADAPT program, it helps people like that not to have to completely be bankrupt to be able to afford their medicine.
It helps me.
Yeah, yes. In the early days, people were cashing in their life insurance policies left, right, and center to survive because they figured they weren't going to be around long, so why not?
Yeah,
you know?
Just to pay for the medication.
Just to pay for meds.
And when you're on the medications long enough, you develop side effects, mm-hmm. and then you have to take other medications for the side effects,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it just keeps ballooning out. Yes.
I had shingles recently.
Yes, see, mm-hmm. I have neuropathy, and so I have to take medication for that.
For that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not cheap.
No, it's not.
So I'm really thrilled that you folks went up there to Washington and worked on the politicos to keep the Ryan White money coming.
Thank you.
Especially
thank you.
To Texas.
Yeah.
We need to wrap this up. It's almost 2:30. In the morning, and we've got another segment coming up. Chris, do you have some music ready?
Chris.
Yeah, he will by the time we get finished. John, Steve, I want to thank you for being with us by phone. And
yeah,
Fortunata,
you're welcome.
I'm thrilled to have you in
the
studio.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to have my first experience on air.
Good.
So there's going to be many more, but I'm honored in my hometown to be able to come in here and get my first.
Well, let me tell you what was thrilling for me, for one thing, is that this is a public affairs show, and it's the only one, really, that's on the air between midnight and 6, because it's so hard to get guests. And so when I called her up, she was, oh, yes, 1:30 in the morning? Oh, that's fine. I so rarely get that.
Yeah, we don't get that reaction often.
Well, anytime. Anytime.
Jimmy, you know, Ray Moore would love to do an interview anytime.
Yes.
To start getting the consumer advocacy groups spread out to other cities. You know, so anytime you need him, just give him a call.
I'm working on that. I'm looking at getting him on the second Saturday of December.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll let him know.
Work on that. Yes.
He's down at the campsite right now.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And I hope to hear back anytime you have any progress that you've made or anything that you're doing. Call us up and come on and tell us about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. So Chris, have some music going?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's Darren, and I didn't know what number to push, so I just put in...
No Limit.
Huh?
Number one.
Well, you didn't bring out your pink highlighter.
I know, I forgot the pink highlighter in that one.
JD will be so proud of you for not using the pink highlighter.
And defacing the CDs, yes.
Time for music.
Poor baby.
There we go. Thank you.
Screwed up. I screwed up.
Sometimes we're funny. Wrong CD player.
Start to doubt. You messed with my mind until I didn't know what was up, what was going down.
Oh, love can push you to the limit, make you cross that fine line between pleasure and pain. Oh, love can push you to the limit, set your heart on fire, then burn you with love's brutal flame. I'm caught in this game that never ends, smashing through the danger signs. Don't look behind, with ever-changing rules, I no longer know to play. Can I ever win?
that fine line between pleasure and pain. Only love can push you to the limit. Set your heart on fire, then burn you with love's brutal flame. Only love can push you. Only love can push you. Only love can push you to the limit. Only love can push you. Only love can push you. Only love can push you to the limit. Only love can push you to the limit. Only cross that fine line between pleasure and pain.
Press play. This is the Bar Mitzvah remix. When there is stuff to do, it always happens later. My man Dan said, I'm a great procrastinator. Unlike DDB, who's a master elevator. When there is a job left, I am the relegator. I never sleep no more. I'm up until 4. You think you're tired? Ha! I kill your record. Too bad, there's still more to do. It just needs more for you. I got the type of drive that'll shake or crush your spirit. You might start strong, but you learn to fear it. It starts as an echo, you can barely hear it. But eventually, you won't even get near it. I'm the taskmaster. There's nothing you haven't done yet. I'll ride your ass until you finish one set. And what about my end of the bargain? Give me credit, man. I'm charging. My life's falling apart. I'm like stalling my heart. Trying to figure it out. Sticking your dick in my mouth. Licking your spout. Sipping on your salt ice cream. Never arising. It's all a pipe dream. I'm ready to be the one who's spending his free time pressing the rewind button. Oh, bring it back, y'all. Bring it back, y'all. Bring it back, y'all. All day I am up doing work. I am a but I love the best. I am a man. I was hanging out on the internet, getting wet, checking out some pictures of girl wrestling matches. Fall space, kicking wings, raping with the headline. Bear hug, kicking balls, painting my bed kind. Chop shooter, delivering lots of butt. My ticket for some customer satisfaction. Twisting and turning, I'm trapping, glycerin burning. I'm madly wishing and yearning and adding it to the journey through the nighttime. When it's best to write rhymes, I might climb. Yet my current height's fine. So the outcome is minimal. As an individual, I become cynical.
Guess who? You're singing to my song right now. You see it
You know, he's easy to shop for Christmas, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
He plays with dolls.
What do you know? That was Kevin Cahoon, right?
Action figures. Kevin.
Kind of like,
my nephew doesn't shoot guns. He shoots rocket launchers.
Oh, great. Cute.
Well, yeah. Like when I did
Robert,
my
who are all these people in the lobby?
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Our
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when you consider our crack security is the legacy of Roy.
Operative word there was crack.
Yeah.
Who are all these people?
But enough about
the
his
lobby.
Dates. Who are all these people in the lobby?
Are they friends of yours?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
They're FODs.
FODs?
David allegedly knows them.
Followed friends of David?
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Friends of that one?
Not that one. That's why I said, uh-huh.
Not that David. Okay.
Okay, yeah, fortunately, we're one David less now, so it makes life easier.
Yes.
David less. Your mic is dead.
Yes.
Long live the queen.
Oh, you too, bro.
I'm making like a mad dog and playing this place. Y'all have a great day.
Okay.
On and off then.
Yes. Merlin and Nurse Robert are leaving.
Good night.
Yeah, fine, leave. You know, okay. I'm the only one who's there to get rubbed.
2:49 in the a.m. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
You have to do it again in a couple more minutes.
I know, but
it's too early.
What music did we hear?
We heard Kevin Cahoon Doll.
Uh-huh.
And before that, we went with a little So Say. Work/play, the Bat Mitzvah Reef mix.
I thought that sounded a bit ethnic.
Yeah. That's the gay white Jewish rapper.
Yes.
The other gay white Jewish rapper. There's two now.
Yes, I know.
I've read the article on the other one. I don't remember his name. It starts with an A.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up.
Was that Scissor Sisters before that?
Yes, their latest hit, I Don't Feel Like Dancing.
Oh.
Someone didn't erase it off the desktop where I downloaded it last
week. Do you know that I bought their CD this week? I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Oh,
I know.
Well, we've downloaded it twice to play, and then Scott.
Yeah, Scott Kalupa has
Yeah, he brought in a copy once, and we played it.
Oh, cool.
Played a song on for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he loves it.
And before that was Darren.
It's called Ta-da.
Yeah,
Ta-da.
The album.
Yes.
Which is great.
Before that was Darren, then The Limit.
And before that...
Michael Callen.
Oh.
That was only a quadruple shot.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Gotcha.
Yeah. I only threw in Kevin because he was getting close on time and I needed something else to fill.
Yes, I know.
I was searching here for another song to play. I was going to risk it and just play a song I hadn't heard at all.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't.
And didn't know what language is in that.
I hate doing that, but I was listening to Irish Airs this evening and they played a song that they hadn't heard before. And... those folks over there are so nice, over at Irish Airs, and they've been on the air longer than, or as long as, I think, After Hours.
They're on
earlier Saturday night, and you can listen to great Irish music and hear Irish news and find out what Irish bands are playing in Houston and where and all kinds of good stuff right there on Irish Airs. And I know those folks listen to After Hours, too.
I was just looking at some of the other stuff here, if what I can. The Bootlickers. We play the Bootlickers.
Yes, of course we have.
Well, this is a different song. I'm stealing from gay.com.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I just did, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
The one you need to bring next week so you can play for Lisa's husband. Actually, you're dedicating it to Lisa.
I have it. I bring it every week.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
HWC is a cover song?
HWC?
Yeah. It's a cute little song. I think I can play it with editing out one little word. That's the title, what they call it. It stands for Hot White Cumin.
Cumin?
Well, take out the N.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Cunnilingus?
Hot White Cum.
Why can't you say cum?
I didn't know if you could or not, because it is with a U.
Oh.
It's a cute little song. It's that... Gimme, gimme, gimme your hot white cum.
And the problem with this is?
You're the one who gets your panties in a bunch about the songs we play.
No.
I was just unsure about that, but they got another... What song they're playing on this one? I don't remember hearing
Lots of
that
men one. And lots of women both like hot white cum.
Hey, I got... You know, actually, one thing I have in the car that I could bring in is Rufus covering that Leonard Cohen song.
Ooh.
About the Chelsea Hotel that Leonard...
Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, that's nice.
We can do that.
I'll go get it.
Please do.
That's good, because we're...
Floundering.
What else is new? Let's give a lovely story here. A lovely little... religious story.
And Jen called earlier, and she called. I picked up the phone like 10 minutes before the end of the Michael Callen song, and I could not talk to her. Oh my goodness. I'm very sorry.
I'm finding a news story on here, if you believe it.
I find that very hard to believe, considering the pictures that are there.
Well, this is the same website that gave us the information about the artificial foreskin.
Yes, and boy, am I a better person for knowing that.
I haven't ordered it yet. Sorry, I hate to ruin your Christmas present.
Hey.
I'll tell you this. I have found your Christmas present. I have to go back. Hopefully it's still there. I found your Christmas present back in, like, June.
Oh.
And I've got to go back now. I've got the money to get it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to scare you by telling you.
What?
I'm buying your Christmas present.
Yes.
At an adult bookstore.
Oh, good. Something I'll actually use.
Well, you know, there'll be...
I'm not sure which cut it is, but when you go, at some point you can...
Oh.
It's Chelsea Hotel.
Well, it's not going to tell me on this thing. It's on an MP3. A Thai Buddhist monk.
Yes.
Cut off his penis with a machete.
Why would he do such a silly thing?
Because he had an erection during meditation.
That must be some really weird.
I meditate
sort
just
of
to get an
fundamentalist
erection.
Cut, because that is so like not Buddhist. It's called the middle path.
And he declined to have it reattached, saying he had renounced all earthly cares, a doctor in a newspaper said on Wednesday. The 35-year-old monk, whose name was withheld for privacy reasons...
What country?
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Well, actually, it was the second word I said, a Thai.
Thai.
Okay.
Okay.
Whose monk allowed medical staff at the Maharaj Hospital south of Bangkok to dress his wound, but refused reattachment, hospital chief... Some Asian name said. Yeah. We cleaned the wound, gave him some stitches.
Ooh.
But he declined to have it reattached because he abandoned everything.
Abandoned earthly... What was this? What was that phrase?
Ties.
Earthly cares.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
I care too much about it for leaving on this earth.
When mine gets hard like that, I'm out of this world.
Yeah, so, there you go. That's probably like... I mean, that's so extreme and so, like, not
not. I'm sure, you know, that that's...
Well, I think it's because it happened during the meditation.
It sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, it does.
You know, one of the things that happens in Thailand, and I actually learned this when I was there in Bangkok in 69. Wow. I was there on leave from Vietnam, and I went to a bunch of the temples and everything. But one of the things that happens is that most of the young men do spend some time in the, a monastery when they're a child. It's like, like military service.
Yeah.
And it's and there's a lot of a very open gay activity in the temples and,
well,
and among
whole,
among all the boys and everything.
It's a whole male society.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very easygoing. You know, they're so I would say he probably has a personal problem.
Yeah.
You know, the same way a Christian that would... I've heard of Christians doing the same thing. And
he was
know.
Part of the religious rite of Buddhism.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's an endorsed practice.
I bet not.
And the whole idea of...
None of them would have...
Erections being in and of themselves evil and...
Of course not.
Terrible.
No, I don't even think... The Buddhist religion looks at it that way. Doesn't look at sex as evil.
One thing I could throw in here, this is like totally off the course, but I was telling Jimmy last week that I've actually been watching Brothers and Sisters. It's like a main, a regular TV show on Sunday night, and it has probably one of the most realistic, best depictions of a gay man, and his relationships with his family and his boyfriends and whatever, the people he's dating, of anything that's ever been on TV.
Wow.
At one point, they had to go out and look at some desert land the father had had bought because there was this thing of they thought he had embezzled money from this company and blah, blah. Where did the money go?
Mm-hmm.
So they went out, and it turns out it was near this military base, and of course, they had all sorts of terrible things happened to the car, and the gay man went to fix the car, and he said, see, no gay jokes to his brother and sister, and of course the car conks out, and so there's this whole thing where they have to go and find a place to stay, and they're in this little town where there's nothing, and they go into this bar, and it's all military men. He sits down, the sister goes off to sort of blow all the guys away by winning the pool, every rack of the pool table. He's sitting there, and this very hot black man sits next to him and starts talking to him, and they're talking about this and other. He says, well, are you married? Do you have kids? He goes, well, no. And he says, well, do you want to have me? He says, no, and I don't think I ever will because I'm gay. And the black man smiles at him. He says, that I was hoping that's what you'd say.
Ooh.
And so they ended up being able to spend the night, have a place to stay in this little nowhere town, because the gay brother scored a military guy. And, you know, this is, it's a long way from silly Will, who couldn't, you know, bring himself to ever actually have sex.
Or much less kiss a guy.
And they have all of that and more in terms of this character on TV. So I just think it's wonderful that they have this very realistic
actually there's a
gay
chance
character.
The gay
Stephen
character will be a daddy.
He may be a daddy.
Yeah.
Because the sister-in-law is pregnant. But what they did was the rehabbed brother and the gay brother both donated sperm. And they did a thing where it's unmarked, and
mixed the two of them together.
Yeah. Well, they said they did a thing where they'll never know whose sperm it actually is.
Oh.
And at the end, the two brothers who donated are of that episode. The two brothers are walking along, talking about whose sperm is going to win, doing brotherly competition. And the brother who's been donated to sort of says, Okay, enough. I think I've had all the sperm talk I need for my entire life.
But see, that episode was so great because you get to see Sally Field talking about sperm.
Exactly. Mm. And plus, a big thing, if you've ever liked Sally Field in anything for any reason, even just to laugh at her, it's wonderful to see her again. So anyway, that's my spiel on that. How that is just like one of the best things to ever happen to gay understanding, people really understanding what gay people are like.
It's the new show following Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for a new gay film coming out.
Oh, another one.
Next year. But do you want to talk about groundbreaking? Breakfast with Scott.
Okay.
What is going to make it so groundbreaking is the fact that it is featuring a gay professional athlete.
Ooh. Cool.
In a sport that has never had a gay professional athlete ever.
Which one?
Which is?
Hockey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, not one that came out.
Yeah. None have come out. And the National Hockey League and the Toronto Maple Leafs have given permission to use their logos.
Cool.
No kidding.
In the filming of this movie.
Well, they're Canadians.
Eh?
Yeah.
They will even be shooting scenes during some of the actual Maple Leafs practices.
Cool.
For this movie.
You know, things really are changing in some funny way. I mean, in terms of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. The appearance of the first gay Toronto Maple Leaf will be groundbreaking, even if it's only on celluloid. Actor Tom Cavanaugh will plays gay ex-Leaf in a comedy comedy film Breakfast with Scott, currently being shot in the Greater Toronto area and Hamilton. He's one half of a homosexual couple. His partner is the team lawyer, whose lives are turned upside down after becoming guardians of Scott. Quote, a budding queen of an 11-year-old boy.
Oh, boy.
According to the storyline. What makes this movie even more unique is that the NHL and Maple Leafs, part of a sport where no player has ever come out of the closet, have given filmmakers their blessing to use their logos and uniforms.
Wow.
The Leafs have even agreed to let them do some filming with them at the end of a practice next month. Cavanaugh, a huge hockey fan, was born in Ottawa, amidst being shocked that they got the go-ahead from the league and the Leaf brass. He vividly recalls his first thought when he read the script a year ago and saw in the opening scene his character, Eric McNally, was a Maple Leaf. I never thought in a million years that when we finally went to shooting, we'd be donning Leaf sweaters.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
So, I mean, it's an interesting.
I've been reading in the Straight Press that there may be another run at changing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I've been reading this in the Straight Press.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why they're saying that they might actually go through is that with the war in Iraq, that a lot of the military, that our military guys have ended up in bunking and being quartered with sexuality integrated troops from other countries like British and everything, and there have been no problems.
Israel.
So all the troops have lived with and have been exposed to being around openly gay soldiers, and there has not been a problem. And so they've sort of calmed down a little bit about like that, and just this odd sort of lateral spread of sort of so whatness that does seem to be happening really might make it possible. And if everybody would just sort of chill out a little bit about the marriage thing for a while, let people just acclimate for a while before they, you know, have to jump up and down and hold their breath and turn purple about that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that was thrown on us by the religious right.
It was.
Forced us into that hand.
Exactly. And I mean, but there was also this thing of this somehow trying to, this big party line that everybody, every gay man in the world wanted to be married and wanted it passed and blah, blah, blah. And
well,
I just never believed that.
No. I never wanted it.
Well, I mean, it's fine if it happens, but in terms of, you know, it's...
I never wanted the ceremony. I'm very happy to be with the same man for 20
well,
years.
Well, I think the legal rights are really important, but
yeah.
at the price of alienating, you know, it's like I never say the F word instead of in front of my mother, you
right.
know? It's like not because... I mean, I could make a big point of saying in front of her, but why? You know, it's like, you know, why alienate somebody just to make a big point?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you on that. That's why I never like to use language on this show when we could.
Yeah.
Because I think words like that... turn off more people than are attracted by it.
Well, and it depends on, you know, if it's a certain movie or a certain story you're reading or whatever. It depends on...
Yes. What, it does depend
you know,
on the circumstance.
On the circumstances, you know. Just, well, like I saw Wanda Sykes doing her routine last night. You know, she's that black... comedian, and she's got a filthy mouth, but I've heard filthy mouth comedians and they just weren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
She was funny. I mean, because she went into this whole routine about how she wishes women's sexual parts were detachable. And just where she went with that. And, you know, and she used all the words, but it was hilarious.
Oh.
And it went into all the sexual politics of... You know, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the CD, you don't know which cut?
It's Rufus Wainwright, and I think it's like 7 or 8. It doesn't say which. It doesn't list them?
No, I mean, that's what you told me when you handed me. It doesn't list any.
Oh.
On here.
Oh, sorry. I thought you put it in and it sort of showed you.
Oh, no.
This isn't an MP3 player.
Well,
no.
I could come over. I could come up and... can I listen to it and cue it up?
Yes.
Well, you could, yeah.
I'll come over.
Okay, well, he's doing that. How about some more news out of Canada?
Okay.
So...
yeah. Just for what's going on in Canada?
Well, you know, this past... If that it, then not turn there. Okay. This past year we had the World Out Games.
Yes.
Because they couldn't get the stuff together to do Hoofs the Gay Games.
Right.
Well, the Out Games didn't go off as well as they had said.
Were these the ones in Montreal?
The ones in Montreal.
Yeah.
Originally, they were saying that they didn't do as bad as everyone was thinking. The Gay Games lost what was in a deficit of $200,000 in Chicago. Now, that's good
depending
for the Gay Games.
Yeah, for what they've done in the past.
The Out Games in Montreal has a deficit of $5.3 million.
Oh, my God.
And they kept telling everybody it went well. But since Canada kicked in, since the government of Canada, Quebec, kicked in $3 million to get this event, they did a little bit of an audit. And
ooh.
It's just coming out now that...
That's terrible.
I mean, this comes out just before the announcement of where the next Out Games are going to be held in 2007 of Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh.
So
they're not going to do well there either.
It's going to be fun to see. We'll keep.
Well,
on.
I mean, because it's so far away.
Yeah, but see, they can get more of the Europeans. I think what they're hoping. I think what they're looking at doing with this is, you know, the Gay Games is an American invention.
Yeah, it is.
And leave it to the Americans, and then they'll do this European version.
Oh.
I think that's one of the things they were talking about. What their plans there. I mean, Sydney lost $1.1 million when they hosted the Gay Games in 2002. But,
I wonder if any of them made money.
I don't think they say there. But, see, actually, Chicago has a chance that they can actually break even. A couple has offered to give them $100,000 in matching grants.
Oh.
So... if they can raise $100,000, then they'll do that,
and that'll make them even.
That'll make them break even, and
okay.
That'll probably be a first for all that. I didn't see about the other part on that.
Okay, it's queued up.
Okay.
And if you would like to play, let it play the next track too. The first track is, well, there's a movie called I'm Your Man. Mm-hmm. It's about Leonard Cohen, and it has people covering his songs. And Rufus Wainwright sings a song about Chelsea Hotel that originally Leonard Cohen wrote for Janis Joplin about the one time that they had sex.
Yes.
And later he said he regretted that he was kissed and told and wasn't a gentleman about it. The second track, if you choose to do it, is this beautiful song called If It Be Thy Will, and Anthony of Anthony and Johnson's covers that.
Oh.
And they're both Leonard Cohen songs, so... Anyway, so okay. Rufus, and they're both gay artists.
Of course.
To answer your one question, I just found out at the end here, Gay Games 1 and 2, mm-hmm. when they were held in San Francisco, they made a profit.
Ah.
So, then we'll go to music now.
Uh-huh.
I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were talking so brave and so sweet, giving me head on the unmade bed while the limousines wait in the street. Those were the reasons that that was called love. For the workers in song, probably still is for those of them left. Oh, but you got away, didn't you, babe? You just turn your back on the crowd. You got away, I never once heard you say famous, your heart was a legend. You told me again you preferred handsome men, but for me you would make an exception. And clenching your fists for the ones like us who are oppressed by the figures of beauty, it's yourself instead. Well, never mind, we are ugly, but we have the music. And then you got away, yeah, didn't you, babe? You just turn your back on the crowd. You got away. That I loved you the best. I can't keep track of each fallen robin. I remember you well at the Chelsea Hotel. That's all. I don't even think of you that often.
Thank you.
Thank you.
and my voice be still as it was before. I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will.
illusions and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, and I think they're wrong, wait and see. Someday they'll find it, the rainbow connection, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and me.
Said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star.
Somebody noted it, someone believed it, and I think they're wrong so far.
What's so amazing that keeps her stargazing? The dreamers and me. Oh, Mr. Buddy Shanahan. Hey, Elmer, you want to sing?
Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard bugs call in my name.
All of the sweet sounds that call the young sailors. The dreamer and me. La 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 la.
He went away and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice.
My boyfriend's back, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
When you see him coming, better cut out on the double.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Look out now, 'cause he's coming after you.
Trying, and he knows that you've been lying.
He's been gone for such a long time.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Now he's back, and things will be fine.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
I'm gonna be sorry you were ever born.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
He's kinda big, and he's awful strong. Gonna save my reputation.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
If I were you, I'd take a permanent vacation.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, I can see him coming. Now you better start a running.
Gonna save my reputation.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back now.
Hey la, my boyfriend's back.
What were you thinking? 'Cause you're gonna get
my boyfriend
right now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My boyfriend's back.
Hey, la, my boyfriend's back.
Hey,
la,
these nights, we're just going to do cover songs.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah, by queer artists?
We did two cover songs there.
Yeah.
With a little bit of corruption. Corrupted cover songs.
Yes, of course.
Well, those were all covers, yes.
Yeah.
Last one there was Jay Spears, My Boyfriend's Back.
From his brand new CD.
Playing on my team.
Mm-hmm.
Before that was Mark Allen Smith, who you hear quite often, sadly, here on the show.
Yes.
Because that's the same voice that sings Eye of the Sparrow.
Yes.
And I told you, I remember once I did it, that I went in and played, Half Breed, Hello Dolly, What a Wonderful World. And you sit there and go, it's all the same voice, impersonating Cher, Louis Armstrong.
Oh, I think I've heard this guy.
Yeah. And we played The Rainbow Connection. And Jimmy kind of, I hadn't seen a neck turn around that much since The Exorcist.
I've forgotten that was on that CD, yes.
And before that was a double shot of Rufus and Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony.
That was the song?
Anthony was the second one.
Okay.
Anthony from Anthony and
Johnson's.
The Johnsons, I think is kind of cute, doing two Leonard Cohen songs.
We both open our mouth at the same time.
Yeah, what is this Rosie O'Donnell thing?
Well, I'll explain. Yeah, go ahead, because I caught little pieces of it, and it's like, okay, we were talking about a spat involving, first of all, Kelly Ripka, which I could care less.
Clay Aiken was on.
And then
Clay Aiken was
co-hosting
Regis or something.
Clay Aiken was filling in for Regis on Friday, I think it was last week.
You know, I just bought his Christmas CD because I figured he is so queer, we can play.
Well, the DNA's not back yet.
Well, from that rag, and then anyway, never mind. What happened was that Kelly and Clay were talking to Emmett Smith, and Clay
about Emmett Smith's appearance on Dancing with
right.
the Stars.
And what had happened was that Clay put his mouth up to Kelly.
He put his hand up to Kelly's mouth.
And Kelly said, "Get that away from my mouth. I don't know where it's been."
Ooh.
And Rosie O'Donnell saw this as a homophobic statement.
Oh.
And Kelly and Rosie had it out on The View on the phone.
Oh, really?
Jay, do you think Kelly Ripa has any gay friends? Duh. Do you think Kelly Ripa may be a fag hag? Duh.
But you know Rosie, and she probably would have thrown down Kelly too if she'd have shown up live on the show.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't need Jerry Springer, or Celebrity Deathmatch for that matter. But Kelly explained that no, it wasn't homophobic, it's flu and cold season, and she didn't mean it that way.
Oh, please, you lying thing, you.
Well, but she's not. I mean, she's like ridiculous. But did you ever see that sitcom she was on?
Oh, it was horrible.
Well, it was, but it was like she played like the biggest slut puppy in the world on that show and did a great job of it. So, I mean, she's not exactly, you know.
You mean it was typecast?
Yeah, I mean, what I mean, though, is she's not a big prude. She's not all that uptight. I mean, she's got a pretty good sense of humor about herself. I mean, I don't like, I mean, I'm no huge fan or anything, but I just, you know, she's so not political that she probably just said whatever popped out of her mouth.
Yeah, supposedly it didn't help also that she, during the Halloween special, both she and Regis had about 5 costume changes, and one of her outfits is she came out as Clay Aiken.
Oh my God! No, she didn't.
Well, why is that bad?
Well, you know, he may have taken offense of the fact that, you know, because she can openly chase men and where he can't.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I mean, I'm not sure exactly why Clay Aiken is all of a sudden a sacred cow. You know.
Well, yeah.
But you know, Rosie's a gay rights girl, and, you know, you don't screw around with that kind of thing.
Oh, I love Rosie.
You know, but Kelly took offense to Rosie saying that it was a homophobic statement and had it out with her on The View.
Oh.
I think
Oh.
Well, that's what The View is for.
Sure.
It is the sort of polite Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much.
The
so.
Non-physical Jerry Springer.
It's, yeah, it's where they don't throw chairs.
Yeah, they just bitch fight.
They throw bars.
Pretty much. Yes. It's the round table on some nights with less decorum.
That's right. You got it. That's it. That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I swear to God, I've watched some of those episodes of The View, and I'm waiting for them to start scratching at the ground to find a worm, because it sounds like a chicken. I like the way how Barbara Walters handled the Star Jones issue with such decorum. You know, she said that I really wish it hadn't ended that way and left it at that, you know?
You know, and well, The View does have a very, very good record in terms of how they do handle gay issues and, yeah. and all of that stuff. I mean, in terms of, you know, being pretty across the board, well, now that they're done with Star, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, being, you know, open and accepting, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, they have to now. Rosie's on the show. But I think it also shows that their openness to all people when they brought on Rosie, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I was looking up the thing with the Rosie Ripka thing, and I went. They were telling me to go to TMZ.com, which is all over the news lately, of you know, all the celebrity gossip, all the celebrity goes through there. And I found something
even better, huh?
Right up this show's alley.
Oh boy,
so to speak.
The folks at CelebrityButtPlugs.com.
CelebrityButtPlugs.com.
Oh, Lord.
Have developed a line of novelty sex toys which bear a striking close resemblance to some of Hollywood's most famous stars.
Oh, my goodness.
While the site claims that any resemblance to real persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental, we can't help but wonder where they got the inspiration for Pear Ass Hilton,
oh.
George W. Tush,
ooh. Oh my God,
and Smell Gibson,
ooh.
Which is part of the Brave Fart edition.
Does it smell like
Brave
alcohol?
Brave Fart edition.
Does it smell like tequila?
I don't know. Celebrity butt plug. Okay, products. Who else do they have on here?
Let me see these. Oh.
Coming soon, Dingleberry Bonds. Pooperman. I don't know who that is.
Dingleberry Bonds. Does it come with the steroids? Anyway.
They're butt plugs, yeah. Only
right.
The...
They're shaped.
Like the head of the person they represent.
Right.
So, if you want a celebrity to take a flying leap up your...
I just found Jimmy's new Christmas present, because they will do a custom one. You send them a photo...
What?
Well, so, we can send in
so
a picture
who
of...
who are you going to get made for Jimmy?
Clay Aiken?
Me?
Well, you know what? Actually, I think of something more appropriate. Because when I think about a huge pain in the ass, I got to think of Big Roy.
Oh!
You know he's listening.
Allegedly. He just called in and said hi. He misses us.
Well, we miss him too, right?
I
want to digress again. I actually saw the Diane Sawyer thing with Mel Gibson the other night.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed watching him. He's so nuts. He's so completely nuts.
Who?
Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, he really was sort of talking about how, what an addict he is. I mean, he really, really was kind of, and evidently he did this thing where, Courtney Love was holed up in a motel. She had slipped, and she was holed up in a motel with her dealers.
Oh, goodness.
And so he went and banged on the door, and she went, ah, Mel Gibson, I don't even know you, go away. And he kept banging on the door, and she kept coming to it. And finally, he said he talked to her dealers and said, let's go get something to eat. And they were also all like, oh, God, Mel Gibson, that he took the dealers off, and an experienced professional counselor went in to talk to her and got her back in rehab.
Oh, For the umpteenth time.
And he was saying, you know, maybe she'll do it for me because I know I haven't slept for the last time. But he was very, very real about
wow.
what an insane addict he is and how, like, really, really close to the edge he is at all times.
You're kidding.
No, it was really impressive. And Apocalypto looks like it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Apocalypto?
That's yeah, his Mayan movie. It's all in Mayan language, and it's about the end of the Mayan civilization, and it's just berserk.
This time he's going against the Christians who
it's
killed all the
so
Mayans.
It's so far from Christianity.
Well, I mean, there's...
There was no
nobody
Christ.
Nobody really knows why the Mayan
Empire died.
I mean, there's lots of suppositions.
Right. Well, this is a version of what happened. And basically what he's done, though, he talks about it's the end of a civilization from that they've overindulged themselves, they've overused their resources.
Yes.
It's about greed, and he's very much putting it forward as a parable for our time.
Okay, well, that's the most logical one.
Right.
That they... destroyed the forests all around their cities, and they just kind of starved themselves out of existence.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be incredible, the visuals.
Whoa.
Are you ready for a very strange coincidence?
Yes.
The question you made about the Mel Gibson, it does say tequila not included.
Oh!
I mean, no, the reason why I missed the first part is I was looking at the close-up picture of the George W. Tush.
Yes.
And
the ears alone.
The ears
really hurt.
Oh!
Of course.
That would hurt going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, get yours now because he's a divider.
Oh, my.
They need to come up with a Santorum one. It's already...
right? he lost his seat, so to speak.
Yeah. We're all upset about that.
Yeah. This is a senator that we named a sex term for, right?
Yes.
Santorum?
Yes. Santorum. Yes. Yeah, Michael Savage. Not Michael Savage. He's the...
Dan Savage.
Ran a contest to come up with something of a gay sexual act that refers to Santorum because of all of his comments.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of the contest was the... Let me get on my tap shoes here as I tap dance along the line. The frothy aftermath of analingus as a result of the combination of lubricants and other bodily fluids.
Sure.
That's churned in the butter churn of your booty.
So it's close to felching.
It's kind of like, what you go diving for.
Yeah, right.
I see.
Did he lose his seat?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
no, pun intended.
he lost his seat, all right.
No, he was just wiped away.
So, lost his seat, got wiped away, now he's reduced to a butt plug.
That should be the next one.
Yeah, it sounds like poetic justice to me.
I think when I posted on LSA, I said he was flushed away.
There we go.
Do you know what I found out?
What?
This week. You know, our most prolific letter writer, Tigger.
Yes.
Right.
Has a blog.
Well.
Oh. A blog?
Yes.
Oh. Someone must be typing it for him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, he sends it in to a friend of his who puts it on a blog for him, and I don't have the address, so I'm going to have to bring it next week, or the week after, because I won't be here next week.
Yeah, you'll be dicking on the strand again.
Yes, I will be.
Yes. Here's a lovely little heartwarming story for the holidays.
Out of
New York City.
New York City!
Get a rope.
Pretty close. Estranged from his father, a gay Brooklyn man came home yesterday to make peace, to make a horrifying discovery. His mother has been hiding his father's corpse in the family's apartment for 3 years.
Oh, Lord.
Joanne Iverson, 73, told her son and cops that she never reported her husband's death because she wanted to continue collecting his Social Security benefits. The horrific secret was exposed when her 38-year-old son, Paul, knocked on the apartment door early yesterday. He has not been home since he came out of the closet well before his dad's death.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Dad, Paul Iverson told his mom, the sources said. I want to make everything right. The elderly woman, who almost never allowed anyone into her Bay Ridge apartment, opened the door, sources said. He's in the bedroom, she told her son.
Oh my God.
Paul Iverson walked through the filthy apartment and to his horror found the skeletal remains of his dad, Frank, in a fetal position under a pile of bed covers and clothing.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Sickened by the discovery, he persuaded his mom to go to the cops.
Oh, my God.
He died of natural causes. It was 3 years ago.
Oh, my God.
She probably had no other source of income. Mm-hmm. It sounds like she was pretty nuts. I mean, I'm not making excuses for her, but that's talk about pathetic from beginning to end.
Now here's, you know, I always wondered if he was dead in there, said neighbor Bonnie King. Frank just disappeared. There was no explanation. Other residents said there were clues, but no one put it all together.
Couldn't they smell it?
There were odor issues in that apartment, unquote, said Carol Clemens. Oh.
This is
odor
so,
issues?
This is so New York.
We complained.
They
said
there were odor issues. They wondering if he's dead, and yet they still don't ask questions.
Right. Exactly.
Don't ask,
we
don't
complained
tell.
A lot, but I would have never guessed there was a body inside.
Oh, my God.
The medical examiner will conduct an autopsy. We don't think she was of sound mind to have done anything criminal. She has checked herself into Bellevue Hospital.
Poor thing. I mean, that's really
sad. Can you imagine the fact you've been estranged from your family for years?
Yeah.
And you come home to make peace, and your mother just goes, he's in the bedroom.
Oh.
I mean...
Can we say denial, kids?
Well, no, I mean, this is more like Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes, or a Rose for Emily.
You know, it's just another layer of scars.
You know,
Rose for Emily.
not only the shock of seeing the corpse, but thinking, oh my God, my mother has gone nuts.
Right.
Talk about a family with skeletons in the closet.
At least now he can, legitimately go to a therapist and work on it.
Oh, and the therapist will give it to him for free.
I hope.
I'm writing the book about you.
Your
sessions are free. On the house, comp gratis. He went through some serious stuff. I'll pay you to come in.
My goodness.
There wasn't much in the Daily Rotten.
I'm so sorry.
Well, there was a gay This Week in History. I can pull up.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's seeing pictures of naked girls.
No, thank you.
Well, yeah. A pervert who had a thing for photographing young girls in the nude.
Yeah.
And this is where... What?
This was back in history. It was Lewis Carroll. The
Lewis Carroll. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 The Reverend Lewis Carroll.
Right.
November 24th. 1326, the gay lover of King Edward II, Hugh Le Decenciere, the younger, is hanged after his penis and testicles are burned in front of him.
Ooh.
Because he was a heretic and a sodomite, even, it was said, with the king. But the king got away with it.
Of course, you couldn't.
It's good to be the king.
Yeah, well, but one of the Edwards didn't. Remember the one that Marlowe wrote the play about?
Pierce Gaveston.
Gaveston was his lover. He's the one who ended up with being murdered by having a hot poker shoved up his rectum.
Yes.
Also on November
24th. So it depends on who your queen is.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting you used that term. November 24th, 1991, Freddie Mercury passed away from AIDS.
You know, I actually saw him in the flesh.
No.
All decked out in leather in the Eagle in Munich in 79.
I'm not surprised.
He was very nice.
Any Queen music we can play?
No.
Damn, I should have brought my CD with me.
Another one bites the dust.
Bicycle Race.
Yeah.
Instead of... You know, that's a kind
of... Seaside Rendezvous.
I announced the anniversary of the guy of the death, and he says another one bites the dust.
Well, I know. It was poor taste, you know.
Here's one that's poor taste for the radio station. I know there's some one here, but I sent this over to my dad saying, I found my niece's birthday present.
Is it anything like mine?
No. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a frog dissection kit.
What?
Shoppers at an upscale U.S. menswear and accessory store, Jack Spade, in Manhattan's trendy Soho district, were hopping mad to see frog dissection kits selling alongside $775 leather file cases and $150 Italian calfskin passport holders. The $40 kit...
Peter, nightmare...
Those letters are down there.
Is it because it was so cheap?
Maybe. The $40 kit came in a cloth bag, complete with a vacuum-sealed formaldehyde-treated frog, scissors, a magnifying glass, forceps, probing sticks, a ruler, instruction booklet on how to explore the animal's innards, and... a moist towelette.
Was this, wow, sounds like a night at the Ripcord.
They give you the frog?
So
they
this was
the frog.
So this was some PETA people.
Later on there. After a barrage of complaints from shoppers and animal activists, the store said, it has cleared its shelf as the kits and will no longer offer them. We're going to issue an apology. Animal campaign group, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals,
PETA.
Or as it's well known in my organization, People for Eating Tasty Animals. said it broke to the company last week after receiving complaints about the product. We were shocked.
The frogs! Damn it!
We were shocked to discover that dissection kit contained the carcass of a real frog.
Yeah.
And I told my niece that, and she's like, "Ew, I would never cut up a frog."
You would if you wanted to pass biology.
I said, talk to me in a couple of years when you've got to cut up an earthworm and then a frog, and if you're a really good student, you get to cut up a little pig.
Ooh, never got that far.
Well, if you're in the advanced biology.
Oh.
It's like, she goes, "Ew." I said, you were just out in the backyard playing with my old microscope, cutting up a bug and putting it under the slide, and you're going, "Ew," because of cutting an earthworm or a frog?
Oh, you know, I actually saw a thing on the news, too, where... there's somewhere like in Brooklyn or something, they were all upset because Urban Outfitters was selling Christmas tree ornaments in the shape of like modern handguns.
Ooh. Oh,
and goodness. They thought it promoted violence and everything.
Please.
It was like, give me a break. You know, I mean, it's like...
When's the last time you saw a pink glittered gun, huh?
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, but just the whole point of like, you know, people are going to do weird stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's get a sense of humor.
Let's see what other news I can find here. 365gay.com.
You know, I mean, because you could spend most of your life being upset about what other people do in bad taste,
mm-hmm.
while everybody else is upset with what you're doing in what they consider bad taste. So, like, just everybody get over it.
I think so.
A new Citizens Patrol has been going through San Francisco.
Yes.
Three men in orange ball caps and jackets. See, that's the problem we had with Cupid before. We didn't have hats.
Yeah, you gotta have hats.
I don't wear hats.
I don't know, but apparently, you know, it helps with the Guardian Angels. I had that festive little beret,
right,
and now orange baseball cap.
Gotta have a look. Yeah.
I don't wear hats.
Maybe you need a raspberry beret.
What about bows?
Three men in orange baseball caps and jackets walk through San Francisco's predominantly gay Castro neighborhood. It's after midnight on a Saturday night, and the street is busy with people heading to the area's bars and clubs.
Yes.
Ordinarily, the... Okay, somebody here does not know math. Remember, three men in orange baseball caps.
Yes.
Ordinarily, the pair may look like they're members of a team on their way to a team function. They have a straight person write this? My God. But they're a part of a new community street patrol aimed at stomping out homophobic attacks before they can get violent. On Halloween night, a shooting spree wounded 9 people and left another person injured.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I missed that.
Jeez. As community outrage began to grow in October, police held a community meeting, pledged to put out more officers on a foot patrol in the area. This has been augmented by the Castro Community on Patrol organization.
CCOP?
Yeah.
And the point was?
The patrols work in threes and accompany police officers on foot.
Where's the $3 bill?
Why do you walk with a cop? It doesn't help. If the cop's there, he's going to do something. The volunteers do not intervene when there's an incident, but help to serve as witnesses and community liaison.
Well, there you go.
If they become separated from the cops they are with, each has a whistle. The whistles and jackets are paid for by area businesses. The whistles are also being handed out to people in the neighborhood to use if they're attacked or witness to attack. About 3,000 whistles have been ordered.
Goodness.
That's a lot of blowing.
Well... It's Castro. They can do it.
Yeah, and the, you know, the San Francisco Police Department has come a long way since Dan White.
Yes.
They really have.
Yes, they used to really have the reputation, even in San Francisco, of being like L.A.
To a certain extent. I mean, some of them were okay. I mean, I lived there. I mean, I never felt, you know, I felt like I could talk to them, you know. So, it depended on where they were from and what, you know, they were pretty good about who they assigned where.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dan White's types did not get assigned to the Castro. Even back then.
Oh, they don't list on here about his playgirls.
And I got actually busted for indecency one time. I mean...
Not you.
Yes. I mean, when you think about it, managing to get arrested for indecency in San Francisco in 1977-78 is an accomplishment. It
That's
takes
true.
Some doing.
What the hell did you do?
I was in the one bookstore that didn't pay, hush money or whatever, and you know, and we just had a whole bottle of poppers, and the door opened, and I was like, oh no, and he's like, oh yes, and they thought it was very funny, and I had dropped the bottle of poppers, so everybody's like rushing, and they. When the cop sort of checked my pockets, he squeezed because. Things were still exciting. And then he said, if you have any pot, hand it over. And back then I wasn't sober, and so they had their stash for a while. And then they went on a chase with us in the back seat. They handcuffed us, put us in the back seat. And they took us on a chase to try to track somebody down, which was sort of exciting. And then when we got to the police station, I had enough money to bail myself out. And the guy who I was my partner in crime kept saying, are you going to send anything to my house? I really don't want my wife to know about this.
Oh, my God.
And was very tall, very hunky, and very blonde. And the upshot of the whole story was my punishment was doing, I don't know, X number of hours at the gay community center.
Oh, boy.
Don't throw me in the briar patch.
Don't throw me in the briar patch.
No, so I got laid there, and everybody was happily ever after.
A gay porn star extradited in a Colorado murder. A 25-year-old man who appeared in more than a dozen gay adult films.
Oh, is that all?
And Playgirl College Hunk.
Oh, whoa.
Was returned to Denver on Friday after he waived extradition from Arizona in the murder of a wealthy Colorado businessman. This website doesn't have his pictures.
Porn stars seem to do that every now and then.
Timothy J. Bonham, 25, who used the name Marcus Allen in his porn career, was arrested last week along the Arizona border with Mexico. He was seen loitering near a crossing point and approached by vice. He was questioned. When he was questioned, Bonham allegedly surrendered peacefully and said there was a murder warrant out for his arrest. John P. Kelso, 43, was found shot to death in his Denver home by a housekeeper.
That name sounds very familiar.
Kelso was openly gay, had made a sizable fortune in the debt recovery business, and was considered a leader in the field. Denver police said Bonham had worked for Kelso after giving up his adult film career a year ago. There's been no motive for the killing. He's been charged with first-degree murder. Despite appearing in numerous gay films, Bonham has distanced himself from the adult industry and allegedly regularly disparaging gays. The Rocky Mountain News reports that a number were called when Bonham moved into a Denver apartment above him. He sanitized his apartment by thoroughly scrubbing it because a gay man had previously lived there.
Oh, brother.
Jesus. And apparently he poured I don't know of any of his films, so I don't know where he poured the bottle of Clorox to sanitize himself.
Exactly.
Either way, it's going to burn. Among the films which Bonham appeared are Little Big League, I don't think that's the Disney film, Through the Woods, Never Been Touched, and Ripe. If you go over to QueerClick.com, I know QueerClick.com has got pictures of him.
I'll bet.
And not just after his arrest,
back when he was pretty.
Back during his working days.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, good old John Waters always said that there's nothing more glamorous than crime. It's the ultimate glamour.
Yes, he loves crime.
I heard that Ruth Brown from his movie Hairspray died this week.
Yes, she did.
Ruth Brown, who...
a great singer.
Yes, made famous... The song that Pussy Tourette did.
Oh. I know, but I don't know.
If I can't sell it?
Yes. If I can't sell it, I'm going to
sit down. Keep sitting on it, yeah.
I'm not going to give it away.
Right.
Yes.
I also saw where...
she was the one that was in Hairspray.
Right.
The movie.
Big Mouth Maybell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's what brought it to mind.
Okay, well, I think we're coming to the end of this.
Yes, we are. We've got 3 minutes to go.
Thank you to 365gay.com, The Daily Rotten, for giving us technical support.
And no thank you to the Montrose Voice.
Houston Voice.
No thank you to the Houston Voice.
Why?
I went to their website, and, you know, they talked about they were going to update with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't.
What a shame.
Yeah. So, I'm just kind of...
They haven't told me when I'm going to be on it.
Very upset about that.
Why don't you send them an email and say, duh.
Yeah, it's like they don't have any local... They don't have any fundraisers listed.
Right.
Or
well, they never
very
really
few items in the community going on. The only thing they had was two items for World AIDS Day listed. That was it.
Well,
like I said, I'm going to wait till I'm in it, then I'll comment about them. Yeah. I was interviewed about a month and a half ago for an article in there.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I ran across somebody talking about how they were bored with the gay community because it had all started boiling down to being a target audience for deodorant.
What?
Well, they were just talking about how they were bored with the gay community being completely viewed as a consumer group that could spend money, and that all they, you know, that they had gotten so boring that all they were good for was to advertise to.
Well,
you've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. If you want to get in touch with us electronically, it's afterhours@kpft.org. If you're the old-fashioned kind, or the stripes on your window are vertical instead of horizontal, it's afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, a life.
I figure, you know, with our prisoners, I could say double aught. They should understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to put a PSA in your ear.
Good night. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Join the Pacifica Radio Archives for our fifth annual national broadcast on all five Pacifica stations. Voices for Peace and Nonviolence.
It's not enough to do demonstrations against the war and then go home. There must be something else.
On Tuesday, November 28th and Wednesday, November 29th, the Pacifica Radio Archives will be broadcasting treasures from our historic collection. We will also be premiering The Ballad of Pete Seeger, celebrating the life and times of America's legendary folk balladeer, featuring a candid
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.